So, dear Frost, what can the fans expect from the brand new re-release of Dark Medieval Times and the Shadow Throne? We've seen new artworks and lots of physical formats.
I mean, we have spent some time redoing the artwork for the old albums, because that was something that we wanted to do now that we first were to re-release two first albums again. So that's going to be very different. But apart from that, this is most of all about making the albums available for fans again, because they have been very, very hard to get.
Yeah.
For several years, at least that's what we have heard. But also Satyricon is a band that tends to look to the future rather than looking in the rear mirror. So it's not that often that we go back and start work on something that we have basically done already. We have reissued Nemesis Divina, and we have reissued Rebel Extravaganza, and brought those albums back again. And now in 2021, we felt that time was more than due to also make the two first albums available again. We want to keep the old albums as they are. We don't go back and you know, change something now being in our mid-40s, something that we actually did in our teens. That just wouldn't make sense. But we can always try to do some slight improvements on the sound of the albums, because we can do that without, you know, disturbing the soul or changing anything significant from those albums, and we don't really, you know, ruin the atmosphere or the spirit of our old works. And we could definitely do improvements to the artwork, we felt, without, you know, harming the old releases in any way. And Satyr have felt all along that the cover for Dark Medieval Times wasn't really the cover he wanted the album to have.
Yeah.
We have always liked the cover, but we just didn't feel that it was completely right. And there was this drawing by a Norwegian artist called Theodor Kittelsen, called Pestadrager, which Satyr originally intended for the front cover. But then he decided that we should try have a particular piece of art being made for Satyricon and for our debut album, Dark Medieval Times. So we wanted something that, you know, came from us in a way. And hence, rather than using that mentioned Kittelsen drawing, we decided that we should use the Kittelsen drawing on the booklets of the album. So Satyr went to the town of Bergen here in Norway and instructed an artist to make the cover for us.
Yeah.
And this artist, Jannike Wiesner Hansen, she kind of understood what it was about, but her interpretation, it was in a way a bit different than ours. So her drawing of that castle in, you know, a pretty dramatic setting and with the horseman in front of it was pretty much, you know, her idea of it. And Satyr came home, he came back home with that drawing and said that, you know, look at this piece of art that has been drawn for the front cover of Dark Medieval Times. And it was, you know, a fine moment, because it was the very first time that we had our album coming up, and now we also had an exclusive piece of art being made for the front cover. You know, when you do something for the first time and you're still in your teens, these things are great experiences. And perhaps we didn't really question whether that drawing that was made for us should be the cover or not. But I guess that we both felt that even if the drawing was fine enough, perhaps it was a bit too cartoonish in a way. And we had envisioned something that was much gloomier and darker and more in line with our own approach to the medieval times and the inspiration that the darkness of those medieval times and the darkness of ancient Norwegian culture and history had on music. So that was much better expressed in that Kittelsen drawing. So now when we re-release the album, of course, we put it on there because that's what should have been there all along. That would have been much more correct cover for the album. It's more in line with the atmosphere of that album. And it was a pretty similar thing with the Shadow Throne, really. Stuart had this photograph taken back in the days.
Yeah.
And he wanted it to have some earthy colors. He wanted it to somehow be connected to the forest or to nature somehow. And he wanted it to be a little eerie and dark. But on the other hand, it shouldn't be very aggressive or outwardly or anything. There should be something more mysterious and calm about it, rather than something, you know, that just pokes out and has a lot of aggression. So he felt that a photograph had some cool qualities that were in line with what he imagined the cover should be like. But when he actually saw the picture on the cover, he felt that it was all too vague and it didn't really express his idea properly. So it was not until recently he stumbled across something that he felt should have been the cover for the album. And yet again, it was a Norwegian artist, and that was a painting by Harald Solberg. It's called Natteglød in Norwegian, which can translate to Night's Glow in English. And seeing that picture, Satir just felt that here was the perfect cover for the Shadow Throne. It had those foresty and autumnal colors. It had some kind of particular glow to it. It felt a bit dark, a bit calm, but also we have been searching around in our respective homes, and we have found some various pictures from back in 93 and 94 that we have included and that we're happy about, and we have also made some other changes to the artwork, and we have tried to, you know, bring Satyricon from 93 and 94 into 2021, but in a way that makes sense. It's, you know, we don't want the albums to be anything else than what they are, and we don't to modernize them a lot or whatever, but we just want to, you know, take off the dust a little.
Yeah, and which are your fondest memories of those days, the enthusiasm of working on those seminal albums? How was the black metal scene in Norway back then?
It's a bit surreal to think about it,
yeah.
Because things were really, really happening. And it was a pretty weird experience to see that basically a new musical genre was being born in our small home country of Norway. We were some dedicated people that were deeply into the black metal of the 80s. We loved Celtic Frost, and we loved Bathory, and we loved Venom and other bands. But basically, the genre wasn't really that much alive. It was a lot about you know, extreme metal in general. Yeah. In the end of the 80s and the very beginning of the 90s. So you had thrash metal and death metal and grindcore and other extreme metal genres, but that whole black metal feeling was not really alive anymore. And weirdly enough, there was, you know, a group of people in Norway where people pretty much felt the same way, that there was such a potential in black metal music, and it could truly be brought to life again, but perhaps we should try to give it an additional element, take it a bit further, make it even a bit more serious and radical, and add something spiritual and ideological to it that would make the impact larger, because we felt that black metal had that in it. That was the potency of black metal, that you could do so much out of the type of energy that was typical for black metal, but also these atmospheres and the moods that were just as typical for black metal as a genre. And we had some important pioneering bands like Mayhem and Thorns and Darkthrone that kind of showed the way, and we were quite a few people that followed quickly thereafter. And we were as determined as they were to make something of our own, to find our own sound, and to build on what was done, and to see if we could expand it further and bring something that wasn't there from before, but that made sense in that genre. So hence in Satyricon, we were pretty we were pretty mature in one way when it came to having ambitions on behalf of the band, and when it came to the radical thoughts we had regarding what Satyricon should be and what we should do about it. Yeah. I mean, you have to take into consideration that neither Satyricon nor me were particularly skilled musicians, I would rather say to the contrary. But still, we had pretty bold ideas about, you know, bringing in unconventional instruments and to bringing in folk melodies and folk rhythms and perhaps even folk instruments and medieval instruments and all of that. And I mean, that was pretty bold given that the band hadn't been around for that long. Yeah. And we were young people still, and we hadn't really proven ourselves at any point before Dark Medieval Times. So that is also something I remember as happening at an almost, you know, unfathomable pace, that, you know, the evolution of the band was happening so quickly, and the developments, you know, were happening so quickly that it was almost impossible to follow it as a musician and as a person. But on the other hand, it was basically the two of us that created all of this. So I look back at those times as incredibly happening. Things were happening in the Norwegian black metal movement, and that was incredibly exciting. And things were happening in our own band, and that was, you know, having a life of its own. And that too was incredibly exciting. So, I mean, every day was pretty much filled by some sensation of very, very much going on. We had basically gone from hardly being able to make music at all to having been in the studio two times and having recorded two albums and earned us a place among some of the more profile bands in the genre. So, yeah, you can imagine.
And talking about the present times, what shall we expect from the immediate future from Satyricon? Maybe a new album?
There will be a new album in 2022.
Okay.
And we will continue to be unpredictable and creative and innovative, I hope. I mean, that that flame has never died in us. It's still burning. And we're moving ahead, and we're still evolving.
Has your scientific education somehow involved your way of doing art?
No, I don't think so, honestly.
Okay.
Rather, would it be a question of how I am as a person? I guess that I have liked to do analytical work. And I guess I'm slightly analytical as a person, and I'm drawn towards certain rather complex ways of thinking, and they might also be expressed in, you know, the way that I have been drawing and perhaps thinking musically as well. But I never think that, you know, the one inspires the other or any such thing. It's more like they are two different expressions of how I am as a person, I suppose.
What kind of music do you like to listen to in your free time from Satyricon?
I have never stopped liking the black metal classics, so yeah. I listen to them, you know, regularly still. Yeah. I still listen to them, to the old, you know, Bathory and Mayhem albums and all of that, and I find it to be very, very rewarding. And I listen to quite a lot of atmospheric music. I listen to classic music every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen quite a lot to old rock and hard rock music, which has gotten greater importance over the later years for me, because there's just something about the energy and the pioneering spirit of those old hard rock classics from the late 60s and early 70s that I connect so much to. I connect a lot to the way the drums are done, and the rawness and energy of it, and the boldness of it. And it has started to dawn upon me what it took to make those old records, you know. And I understand very well that musicians tend to gravitate towards the late 60s and early 70s sooner or later. Many are fans, you know, of these things from the start, but if they aren't that from the beginning, they usually discover it sooner or later, and so have I. So that is an important thing for me. But also I could mention that I try to be more and more open-minded when it comes to music, because I used to be pretty narrow-minded. And
okay.
To me, it was almost like a strict requirement that music needed to be very dark and extreme to have any appeal to me. But today I have learned that there's a lot to pick up from all kinds of music. And if you don't like it, you could still observe and note things, and you could make something out of it at some later point. So you can learn something from basically anything, as long as it is, you know, well made, and as long as it is made. I mean, I wouldn't waste my time listening to very, very, you know, standardized pop music or any other sort, because that's just made to function as entertainment. But anything that is done with at least a piece of the musician's soul or heart, you know, that is something that you could learn from it or draw out of it.
Do you want to share any thought about your choice for a vegan diet?
It has to do with what is good for my health.
Okay.
And in turn, what is good for me as a drummer, because I have understood more and more over the years that everything that you do will also have an impact on your work.
Yeah.
So since what I do is very physical, I basically need to bring in some of an athlete's mind in order to do my best.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to pay attention to very many of those things that athletes do. I should never consider it being, you know, any type of sports, because that would reduce it. But there's definitely an element of it. And that also means that I have to think a little and do a little as an athlete would think and do. And athletes care a lot about nutrition. They think about what they drink and what they eat.
Yeah.
And I realized at some point that the plant-based foods seem to make the body happier. As simple as that, really. You know, if I eat a meal based on meat, it will take a serious while for me to digest that meal. In the meantime, I will feel a little low in energy. I will feel a little tired and perhaps sleepy. And I just discovered that there are so many times where that is something that I can't really have. I mean, if I go to rehearsal, but also perhaps might be hungry, then I should have something to eat in order to make it through the rehearsal. But on the other hand, I should try to avoid eating something that is heavy to digest, and that means basically any kind of meat. And I just had so many discoveries where when I ate plant-based foods, I could basically, you know, install myself behind the drum kit and start to play.
Yeah.
I didn't really need lots of time to digest the food or to rest in between or any such things. And that just told me that it seems like the body reacts in a certain way to plant-based food that it doesn't do when I eat meat and vice versa. And as I had these discoveries, I started also to be a little more interested in, you know, how to get good sources of energy but without eating meat.
Yeah.
Obviously, since you do something that is rather physical, you will need a little bit of proteins and need, you know, various kinds of nutrition, or else you're gonna be hardly struck by fatigue. And indeed, there was a time where I lost quite a bit of weight and I experienced quite a lot of fatigue. So I just had to, you know, learn all of those tricks that people doing sports, but also being vegetarians or vegans do.
Yeah.
So that is something that I still try to learn, but I mean, I get better at it. And I find that, you know, there are lots of things that you can eat that will give you all the energy that you need, and it will give you all the building blocks meaning proteins, you know, and you will get various carbs and the vitamins you need and all of that, no problem.
Which final message and greeting to the Italian fans would you share from Frost and Satyricon?
Well, if there is anything that Satyricon is about, and which we were about even as we were making Dark Medieval Times, it was that you have to trust that if you put your heart and soul into something, you will find your own way. And that should always be the leading star. And there might be all kinds of obstacles and problems, but you will be so strongly rewarded if you just pursue that goal, and if you put in the effort and go all the way. So, you know, doing something that is yours only, that isn't there from before, that has been incredibly important for Satyricon. And that's how we still think And we don't want to copy any others, and we don't want to copy ourselves. If you make an album, that album should have a life of its own, and it should be as unique as any kind of life is. So that is the message. Apart from that, I really look forward to see our Italian fans again, because it has been a while.